Today is the day of Pentecost, and the scripture lessons are from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21, and the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 23 through 31. Today's message is titled, What Does This Mean? Hear from scripture, Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, What does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, They've had too much wine. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Here ends our lesson from Acts chapter 2. The Holy Gospel, according to St. John, the 14th chapter, beginning at the 23rd verse. Again, this is the night he is betrayed. Jesus replied, If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while I was still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And don't be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father. For the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me, but the world must learn that I love the Father, and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now. Let us leave. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, thou hast given us thy word for a light to shine upon our path. Grant us so to meditate on that word and to follow its teaching, that we may find in it the light that shines more and more until the perfect day. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. It was the 40th day when the Lord Jesus Christ was lifted up and taken back into heaven. Over those previous 40 days, Jesus gave many convincing proofs that indeed it was He who was crucified, dead, and buried, rising on the third day. Then on the 40th day, Jesus was lifted up and taken back into heaven. Another wonder of wonders that human philosophy and human scientific analysis and explanation fall far short of understanding the reality that unfolded before the disciples' eyes. Defying explanation doesn't necessarily mean never happened. When the wonder of the spiritual realm crosses into the physical realm lacks the ability to scrutinize with physical descriptions. During those 40 days and many times before, Jesus said to the disciples that the Holy Spirit will come. More than that, Jesus said the Father would send the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. It is written, John chapter 14, verse 26. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Jesus said the Father would send the Helper. The Holy Spirit, Helper, Parakletos, translated as Advocate, Intercessor, Counselor, the Holy Spirit, Helper, Comforter. I mean, it's all these things, Advocate, Intercessor, Counselor, Comforter, Consoler, Helper. I mean, the word in the Greek carries courtroom language. And in the New Testament times, this courtroom language was the understanding of Parakletos. In the Parakletos in that day was a lawyer, an attorney, if you will, who would come along beside you to help you plead your case. Would come along beside you to help you. Parakletos, it's a compound word with the first part, para, meaning close beside. The Holy Spirit will come close beside you. And kaleo, it means call. The one who makes the call, who speaks, knows well the situation, for that one is close by. Jesus had left his close by position of teaching the disciples. Now the Father will send the Holy Spirit to come close by to lead and teach the disciples, making clear what Jesus had already taught. Help the disciples learn the lessons that Jesus taught, but they had not quite understood them at the time of the teaching. Time was needed and experiencing things was needed as they lived out what Jesus taught them. It took time for things to really sink in. These things the Holy Spirit will help them remember. The Holy Spirit will help them remember. Hence, Gospel of Matthew, Gospel of Mark, Gospel of Luke, Gospel of John, they're full of this Holy Spirit helping remember, reminding them of what Jesus said, what Jesus did. The Holy Spirit's work reminded the disciples, Jesus said this, and this is needed to be written, so those coming after us will be able to believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and by believing have life in His name. The Holy Spirit would help them write the sacred accounts of Jesus' conception, His birth, His naming, His baptism, the temptations, those healings, those teachings, the prayers. They'd be brought to mind in an orderly manner to proclaim Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, who was crucified, yes, and who was risen, paying in full the redeeming price for forgiveness of sins and eternal life. As time moved on, the Holy Spirit would help the disciples grow in understanding of what all this means. And note, this is exceedingly important. I want you to note this and remember this. This is exceedingly important. The Holy Spirit will help remind them. Remind them of what Jesus said to them. Remind them of what Jesus taught to them. And this is exceedingly important. The Holy Spirit reminds them. The Holy Spirit will bring forth the remembrance, the remembrances of what Christ has said and what Christ has done to fortify the faith. This is really important. The Holy Spirit will not bring forth new revelation. The Holy Spirit will not bring forth new revelation. The Holy Spirit will remind them of what Christ has said, what Christ has done. The Holy Spirit reminds. It doesn't bring forth new revelation. The Holy Spirit will not begin new truths. The Holy Spirit will not initiate new understandings. The Holy Spirit will not be the source of new and secret knowledge, as the Gnostics claimed years ago. The Holy Spirit will not be involved in people saying, "Behold, God is doing something new." The Holy Spirit will not be involved in someone saying, "Behold, God is doing something new," as many people are saying these days. They're claiming it's a new move of the Holy Spirit to affirm and celebrate behavior what the Bible has clearly declared is sin. They say the Holy Spirit has shown them and is doing a new thing as they celebrate what ought not to be celebrated, which in reality is a descent into decadence. An example. A recently arrived Lutheran summer camp newsletter states this: "They received a grant to purchase items that will help us better serve campers of various races, abilities, gender identities, and sexualities." Well, what did they purchase with the grant? Listen carefully what they purchased, because it will help you understand. "We've purchased pop-up changing tents for each cabin because we believe that everyone deserves the right to privacy. We will also be purchasing additional trash cans to assure that every bathroom stall at camp has a place for disposal of hygiene products." I ask you, now why would a changing tent be needed in a cabin? Unless biological boys and biological girls will be in the same cabin. And why would trash cans for disposal of hygiene products be needed in boys' bathrooms unless biological girls will be using boys' bathrooms? Parents, grandparents, before sending your grandchild to a summer camp, Be sure you know these things so you can protect the innocence of your child. So you protect the innocence and modesty of your grandchild. We're doing a new thing. The Holy Spirit has shown us this is the way of life. This is the way of love in Christ, right? That is not of the Holy Spirit. I can give you many more examples. I invite you to speak with me if you would like to learn more. How can this be of the Holy Spirit, who in creation, along with the Father and the Son, created us in His image? Male and female He created them. As it is written, when Jesus was confronted by the Pharisees, this is how Jesus answered them. It's written in Matthew chapter 19, verse 4. Haven't you read, He, Jesus that is, replied, that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female. Jesus was referring to Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man in His own image, in the image of God who created him, male and female, He created them. How can it be of the Holy Spirit if it's denying how God created them as male and female? John chapter 14, verse 26. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Teach. Didasko. The Greek word is didasko. It literally means cause to learn. Cause to learn. And in the New Testament usage, this word nearly always points to teaching the Scripture. Teaching the written Word of God. So the Holy Spirit will teach you the written Word of God. We'll remind you. It's a long Greek word that I'm not even going to try to pronounce. But it's a really long Greek word. I'm not going to pronounce this, even attempt to pronounce this morning. But it's a compound word with one part meaning under authority and the other part meaning to remember, to recollect. But that remembering is nuanced in the Greek. It's an actively remembering. Actively, intentionally remembering. The Holy Spirit will teach you the written Word of God, and the Holy Spirit will help you actively and intentionally remember the Word of God. God created them male and female, is what the Holy Spirit would bring to mind and would be caused to learn, for it is written in the Scripture. It was then, and it's true to this day. The Holy Spirit will come to be with the disciples, taking Jesus' place to continue the work of teaching the divine truth and bringing forth those things in their memory so that they will fulfill being witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, 10 days later, the time of the Jewish festival Shavuot, which is 50 days after Passover. It's one of the three festivals that all males must come to Jerusalem. You can find it in Leviticus chapter 23, with the instructions to be followed, offering of a new grain of the Lord, to the Lord. It's the offering of a new grain to the Lord. Also, Shavuot celebrates the giving of the law of Moses on Mount Sinai. For it was the 50th day, on the very day after leaving Egypt, that God gave Moses the Torah on Mount Sinai. And so images from Exodus 19 and Exodus 20, that's the giving of the Torah. And these are the descriptive images that you can find in Exodus 19 and Exodus 20. Just listen to them and put them into your memory. Thunder and lightning, very loud trumpet blast, fire, more sound of the trumpet, thunder. Thunder with flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and a smoking mountain. Very visible and oral phenomenon. You see it, you hear it. The sights were seen and the sounds were very, very loud. They were all heard with God giving the Torah to Moses on the 50th day after they left Egypt. with Shavuot bringing the people from all over the place to worship at the temple in Jerusalem, the city once again would be filled to the brim. Maybe not so much as during the Passover, but great crowds would be there. When suddenly, Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 2, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. A great sound burst forth, and those in the city heard the sound. The crowd came together, drawn by the sound. And remember the word house? The word house is oftentimes describing the temple of the Lord. The temple of the Lord has been called many times house, the house of the Lord. Jesus calls the temple a house of prayer when he cleared the cellars out of the temple court. A house. Jesus called the temple a house. More than likely, the disciples were together in one place, and that house was the temple. As it's written in Luke chapter 24, verse 53, and they stayed continually at the temple praising God. That was after Jesus' ascension. They returned to Jerusalem, and they continued at the temple praising God, the disciples. The great violent sound drew the crowds. And then the visual of fire. Did you know there was fire at the dedication of the temple by Solomon? When Solomon was dedicating the temple, it's written in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. When Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offerings and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled it. When all the Israelites saw the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshiped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, He is good. His love endures forever. Put these things together. Exodus chapter 19, Exodus chapter 20, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and the sounds and images of Acts chapter 2. And know the very presence of God has come in Acts chapter 2. The very presence of God has come. The Holy Spirit is the very presence of God. It's now settling on and filled fully and completely the disciples with the Holy Spirit. Filled completely and fully, enabling them to be witnesses about Jesus in all those various tongues. So put Exodus 19, Exodus 20, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, Acts 2, sounds, thunder, all those images, and the presence of God. It is the very presence of God. It happens there at the house, the temple. And the crowd gathers because they heard the sound. And they've seen the fire come down. They've seen the fire come onto the disciples. Fire came down at Solomon's dedication. Fire is coming down. What does it mean? Peter rises and speaks with Holy Spirit power. Peter begins as the Holy Spirit brings to mind the prophet Joel, stating what is happening is the fulfillment of Scripture. Acts chapter 2, portion of verse 17 and verse 21. You can find the rest of it later today in Acts chapter 2. But in short, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Did you notice? The Holy Spirit came and Peter begins preaching by being reminded of what the prophet Joel said. And now he proclaims it to the people, saying, what you're seeing is the fulfillment of Joel. The Spirit comes. The Holy Spirit comes. And all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And thus it begins. witnessing Jesus is the Christ. Peter continues, Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 22. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him on the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Now jumping down to Acts 2, verse 32. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. Peter then comes to the exclamation point. Peter, this Peter who denied Jesus three times, this Peter, along with all the other disciples who were hiding behind locked doors out of fear, now, very publicly, in front of thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, Peter, no fear, boldness, Peter proclaims. The exclamation point is right here, Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. The bold preaching penetrated the people's hearts. They cried out, "What shall we do?" And came the answer. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 38, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." Only 3,000, only 3,000 out of the hundreds of thousands present accepted the message and believed. The 120 now has grown with the first fruits. Remember, Shavuot has to do with the first fruits of the new grain. The first fruits of the new believers. The church has now grown. First fruits by bold, Holy Spirit powered preaching. 3,000 more. The church, the gathering of believers of Jesus Christ, has begun. And the church is where they were devoted to each other, devoted to learning from the apostles, devoted to fellowship, devoted to worship along with the breaking of bread, which is communion, and prayer. What does this mean? From the Formula of Concord, the Solid Declaration, Article 4. Faith is a living, bold trust in God's grace. So certain of God's favor that it would risk death 1,000 times trusting in it. Such confidence and knowledge of God's grace makes you happy, joyful, and bold in your relationship to God and all creatures. The Holy Spirit makes this happen through faith. Because of it, you freely, willingly, and joyfully do good to everyone, serve everyone, suffer all kinds of things, love and praise the God who has shown you such grace. The Holy Spirit makes this happen through faith. Because of it, you freely, willingly, and joyfully do good to everyone, serve everyone, suffer all kinds of things, love and praise the God who has shown you such grace. And you see that reality lived out in the apostles' lives as they spread out, share the good news of Jesus Christ, suffer many things, die, other than John, the beloved disciple. They all die as martyrs witnessing for the faith because they've come to know the God who's shown them such grace. It's the Holy Spirit that makes this happen through faith. As a student of history, which I enjoy doing, in short, what we need in these days is a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit with the power of the presence of God bringing revival. A great awakening, once again, to transform hearts through repentance and forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The boldness of the witnesses of ages past. We need Holy Spirit-powered boldness of witnesses of ages past to bring the message of salvation in Jesus Christ to this generation who is being so misled into self-destruction. And the children are the primary targets. Being so misled. People need Christ. This generation needs Christ. And we are the witnesses for this generation. We are the Holy Spirit-filled witnesses for this generation. So come, Holy Spirit. Make great things happen here and through us. So today's generation hears of Jesus Christ and His redeeming grace. Send the Pentecost fire of the Holy Spirit's presence and power. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.